Welcome, everybody, to the Full Count, the IBN MLB show. We are back after a couple week delays, primarily my fault, due to some unforeseen circumstances. But we are back. I've got with me my co-host, Brian Malone. I feel like I have to start out by saying some kind of apology because I was slandering the Yankees. Something terrible. And it's funny, like, you knew they were going to turn it around at some point. But I guess it does seem like I kind of ran away from it because they were balling and we didn't have a show. So I will double back and say that.
Like, they haven't lost a series in over a month. Like, every series that they played in the last month, they've either tied or won. So,
yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. The only reason why I would ever cheer for the Yankees is because of Giancarlo Stanton, and I made that very clear. They signed him, and he was crushing, man. He had the worst April until, like, the second to last week or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, he had a week that was straight out of video game. And then he got hurt again. Uh-huh. And then Aaron Judge started getting going. So I hope he stays healthy. But, yeah, that's unfortunate because I can't even be happy for your success right now because you don't have my guy. And you're fresh off a no-hitter with Corey Kluber.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anybody seen that? Yeah. I trashed him last time we did this. I'm pretty sure I trashed him. Maybe it was the one that we didn't record. But one of these podcasts we did, I'm pretty sure I trashed him.
Yeah, no, and it was well-deserved. I mean, shoot, Jeff texted me last night and was talking about it because, you know, he's a Rangers fan, and I was trashing him in the middle. Like, it was the eighth inning, and I was still trashing him. I was like, he's got a no-hitter? What?
Yeah.
Shell of himself.
I was ready for that. I did not see that coming at all.
But since we're on the topic, as a matter of fact, you know what? We'll get back to that. We'll double back because I do have some questions about some no-hitters. So as you guys know, with the full count, we go through initially a full count. That's three strikes, three balls, or three balls, two strikes. And then we home run, single, double, triple, foul tip into the glove, et cetera. We end it with a topic. So starting out strike one. We kind of got away from it the first show because I just didn't feel like it really deserved any energy. But we are back on Tommy effing La Russa. Or Tony effing La Russa. I keep calling him Tommy because I want to take a Tommy gun to him. But Tony La Russa and this unwritten rule BS, man. Like, As a baseball fan and former player, yes, I'm not coming at you talking like I made it to the major leagues. I had some pro tryouts and whatnot. I went to the MLB combine in Atlanta at one point when I was in my prime of my athletic career. But no, I never made it on a team. And so that's why I have this podcast and Ronnie doesn't pay me. But either way, I can tell you in my entire history of playing baseball. I played baseball nonstop until I was about 27. I've never had a manager, even in exhibition games, ever tell me not to play the game. And essentially, that's what I feel like people expected Mercedes to do. Yes, he swung on a 3-0 pitch. And if you're not familiar with the situation, the Twins were down 15-4, and the DH for the White Sox was going up against Williams Astudillo, who is the sometimes first base, sometimes third base, sometimes short. Like, he's all over the place. He's the utility guy.
This is also
the
Twins' third appearance out of the bullpen, so now he's called sometimes pitcher.
Yeah, sometimes pitcher. He was on the mound, kind of like what we saw with Freeman and Rizzo, only Rizzo struck out Freeman, and Astudillo gave up a homer on a 3-0 count down 15-4. And La Russa just overreacted, man. I mean, I'll be quite frank with you. He overreacted. He didn't even give it a chance to go over the fence. He was out the dugout, fussing at his player. Mind you, this is a grown man that's like three times his size. He's fussing at him. And then what I think was the most offensive part of the whole thing is that he called the Twins and apologized. A division rival. He called them and apologized for something that his player did. And
And then said it was okay that they threw behind his leg.
Yeah, and it was okay with them throwing behind him. And I just don't understand, how can you still claim that you have the pulse of the clubhouse? And I'll be damned, the White Sox are still competing and winning, which I think speaks volumes for this young team and their maturity. But, bro, come on, man. Yeah. You can't win like this long term.
Look, I'm right there with you. Like, I think the White Sox have the talent to win the World Series. I think Tony La Russa is going to be the reason they don't. I really do. Like, I just don't. He's not in touch with what baseball is anymore. He's just not. Like, the whole, they're trying to get rid of the unwritten rules, and then there was the game we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where he didn't even know what the new rules were for extra innings, and the game where he put the pitcher out there at the end of the game instead of where, you know, you could substitute him for the 8-hole hitter, I guess, if you don't want to have your pitcher out there pinch running. And he didn't know that, put the pitcher out there, then had a guy steal with one out and a guy on third with a pitcher on third. And it was just, the White Sox have the talent to win a World Series. I just think Tony La Russa is going to be the reason they don't.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, man, like, if you're playing for somebody, and this is any sport, if the players don't respect the coach, and, like, we're not talking about like, because we've seen plenty of situations where people don't like each other, but they respect each other. If they don't respect the manager in a 162-game season, like, come on.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, too. Like you said, like, and those are the things that don't earn you the respect. I mean, if you, like I said, if you're out here, basically the reporter after the game had to tell him what the rules were, and he's like, okay, that's it. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you know, and then he's doing stuff like this where he doesn't have his players back and openly to the media and says, yeah, throw at him if they break the rules.
And it's not just Mercedes we're talking about. He's got beef with Lance Lynn. He's got beef with Tim Anderson, who's literally the face of the franchise, and their leadoff guy. Like, he got pissed at Anderson for flipping his bat on a home run, and I think he got pissed at Lance Lynn. I can't remember exactly what they kind of traded words with. But at the end of the day, Mercedes said, you know, this is who I am, and I'm not going to change my game for anybody. Like, he was like, I got here playing this way. He's a 28-year-old rookie. So, you know, he got here playing this way, and he's not going to switch it up. And, I mean, he's got plenty of support in the clubhouse. He's got a couple pitchers, you know, liking tweets about what he did. Tim Anderson spoke up for him via social media. And then opposing players as well, Trevor Bauer. I think Aaron Wood was another one. Like, people don't have a problem with this stuff anymore, man. Like the only people who complain about these unwritten rules are just people who are just, like, either outdated or honestly not talented enough to play baseball, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like if you're an athlete in today's game, man, like, the only people who I can think of off the top of my head that should be complaining about shit like this is Bumgarner, Kershaw, and, like, Scherzer. Like, those guys. Like, they're the old guys.
My whole thing is, like, you don't want to give up a home run on a 3-0 count. Don't get 3-0.
Yeah.
Don't go down 3-0. You know what I mean? Like, just don't go down 3-0. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah. Don't put out your position player to pitch. I saw a Sports Illustrated article that was talking about maybe suggesting that, you know, if people don't want players to play, then maybe they should allow teams to forfeit. I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I know slaughter rule exists in some little leagues and things like that. That's different. I don't necessarily agree with that because people pay for these games. And so if you pay for 9 innings, you want to see 9 innings, you know. For the most part, the fan experience when the position player comes out the pitch is, at this point, everybody understands it's just for jokes, you know? And they just, like, they cheer and just have fun with it. Most of the time, the players have fun with it, too, as we saw with Rizzo and Freeman. There's typically no hard feelings, you know? So, La Russa is just a clown, man. He really needs to go, and I really believe that, or hope, that this is the last time we see these managers who coached when our parents were our age. Like, we don't need them around anymore. Like, the game has evolved. People have evolved. Society has evolved. And some of his comments really made it worse. La Russa suggested that, you know, well, if I could, I would put three pitchers out there and just let them tap the ball so we can get three quick outs.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that too.
Thank you, 81-year-old La Russa. Anyway, moving on. We have, I want
to
say.
We just need to move on because we spend the entire hour talking about
that. I'm gonna start cursing, and I'm trying to make sure I can share these. Bowl one, we have, I'm asking for two teams, American League rep and a National League rep that you have that are trending up in the month of May.
Well, of course, like we already talked about it in the AL, I think it's got to be the Yankees. They're what, 8-2 or 7-3 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I haven't lost a series since I think it was the Rays, which was like the 16th through the 19th or whatever of the last month. So over a month, with today being the 20th. And then in the NL, it's got to be the team that, just because I think the only team that in the entire league right now that nobody saw coming, and it's the San Francisco Giants. I don't understand how they're good. You go and look at it, and it's like, it reminds me. So I was looking at it earlier. It reminds me of one of those teams when, like, you know, you're playing like the show, and you're in franchise mode, and you just start picking up like old free agents. Like, oh, that was my boy back in the day. You start picking up free agents and shit like that. Like, that's what it reminds me of. It's just a bunch of ragtag, like, dudes who didn't succeed somewhere else. Like, they've got Alex Wood, they've got Aaron Sanchez, like, they've got all these dudes, and they're playing well.
All right, first,
he's hitting like 400.
First of all, watch your disrespect, man. I want Alex Wood back in Atlanta. I didn't want him to leave, okay? I want Alex Wood back. I want Minor back. I want Beachy. I want the whole squad back, man. But yeah, no, they are my National League team. I had the Giants too. And you asked, you know, how are they doing this? Well, you know, this past series has been the long ball, which
they scored 19 runs the other day. Yeah. Brandon Crawford's hitting like 350. Buster Posey's hitting like 400. Like, I feel like I'm back in 2011 again.
Yeah, they're going to come back down to earth, though, just because a lot of people don't respect the fact the Great American Park, when it's warm and it's like this late spring, early summer, it plays like Coors, man. Like the game today. I was livid. I wanted to take the over. It was at 8.5, and they had Cueto pitching. I'm assuming they just thought Cueto didn't have it. But again, Cueto has plenty of experience with everybody in the Central.
I was looking at their numbers. Like, everybody, all their starters are sub-4. Like, even Cueto, he's at like 3.6.
Yeah,
not awful, not great, but it's not awful. But then Kevin Gausman's having a career year. Like I said, Aaron Sanchez, who was somebody we talked about 4 years ago and then didn't hear from, is back in San Francisco, and he's got a sub-3 ERA. Like, they've just got these random guys that are playing really well for it. Alex Wood is 5-0.
So one of the things that I noticed, too, and that I find interesting, from a pitching standpoint, you can almost make an argument that it's like the money ball of pitchers. Like, they're just guys who have specific talents. And one of those traits that they all have in common is they're ground ball pitchers, and they keep the ball on the ground. Now, I jokingly said that Brandon Crawford looked like he lost a step. That's really what it is, a joke. My man catches everything on the left side. Like, their defense, their infield is so good at fielding that the scores stay low because they just pitch a lot of ground balls and guys just make plays. I want to say they're tops in the Major League Baseball in double plays, just because, again, they have the ability. I'm talking from the ace all the way down to the closer. They all have the ability to keep the ball low and on the ground. And while a lot of people want to do that, they don't necessarily have the pitching repertoire to do that. But more importantly, they don't have the defense, whether it be alignment or just guys being consistent at getting the ball into their mitt. They just don't have that. But the Giants literally, like, I watched their entire series this week. The Reds have one of the best home offenses in Major League Baseball. And you would have thought that you were watching the Yankees from early April. Like, they just, like, embarrass them, like, top to bottom, embarrass them. And then even crazier is that they found the long ball in Great American. And if you look at the way Crawford is hitting the ball now, even Buster Posey, they're starting to utilize launch angle a lot more, which we're not used to seeing from the Giants organization. They're usually steadfast on just keeping the ball level and base hits and things like that. But you got Longoria, you got I'm gonna jack his name up. Yastrzemski, Crawford, Belt. Like, these are all guys who are now, like, if you watch their swings, they're incorporating launch angle a lot more. So I don't know if people just need to update their rosters, but you got to start respecting this squad, man. You got to start respecting the squad. And the biggest key, they're 14-4 at home. So, and they play in a pitcher's park with ground ball pitchers. You're gonna catch fits beating this team if this stays consistent. My American League team will not be the Yankees. I won't give you that satisfaction. I went with the Houston Astros, who have been 8-2 in their last 10. I mean, more so, it's not necessarily the pitching. It's really the bats. They've just come back around. They're clutch all around. Alvarez is back in the lineup and just a monster, man. Like, I don't think we give him enough credit in baseball, man, because especially with him being as young as he is, you don't really see a lot of young lefties come in and actually hit lefties as well as he does. And with him being such a power hitter as well, he's got a really good balance to his game when he's on, kind of like we see from Soto and Bellinger when they were coming up, or when they were in their first couple seasons, they didn't really have any problems with lefties. You couldn't platoon them. You couldn't go, oh, I'll just throw a lefty in here because he'll get him out. Like, you don't have to worry about that with him. And I really like that he's able to beat the shift when people shift on him, and he beats it with, like, well-placed hits. It's like there's some finesse to his game at the plate that I don't think he gets enough credit for. But I think we'll see Astros.
I agree that Yordan Alvarez is a beast, and he gets overshadowed by a lot of the other guys on that roster too. I mean, you know what I mean? People talk about the Bregmans and the Altuves and the Carlos Correas, but they don't always know who Alvarez was, because he wasn't part of that World Series cheating team.
Yeah, he was part of the crop that came in where I was like, how do they still have this kind of talent on their freaking roster? And it's funny because
he's part of the reason why George Springer's gone.
They
said, okay, look, we can replace George Springer's bat in the lineup with Yordan Alvarez. And they believe in him that much.
And every time I see Altuve first pitch fastball, homer, I do question things. I will say that. But while we're on that topic, before we switch, bro, have you watched the Athletics this year?
And off and on. I haven't watched him recently, but
the center fielder, Laureano, tell me he doesn't give you shades of Jose Canseco. I think he's cheating. I'm going to put it out there. I think he's cheating. This guy is on pace to have as many home runs this season as he has total in the last three seasons. Even if you throw out the 2020 season, I think in 2019 or 2018, he might have hit like 26 home runs. He's already at like 10 or 11. I have questions, bro. The other night I was watching a game. It was 14-mile-per-hour wind blowing in from left field. Every single person who hit it left field, I'm talking Bregman, Correa, like legit power hitters, like what's their third baseman, Chapman, none of them could hit the ball out going left field. This man hit two out. I have questions. He's five. Right. He's like 5'8". He's like 5'8", like 200.
No, I know. Yeah.
Come on, man.
And he came up known for his defense. Like, he's never been a hitter.
His power numbers are insane this year. Insane. I'm like, yo, this is either Jose Canseco or Brady Anderson. But I gave him Canseco because he's got the cannon arm. He's got the athleticism. His defensive, like, highlights are incredible.
So, I mean, the first time I saw him was him robbing somebody of a home run.
Yeah, but somehow this year, man.
He robbed somebody of a home run and then threw somebody out at third.
But for some reason this year, my man is leading a team with Matt Olson and Matt Chapman in homers. Like, come on, man. Come on. So I'm asking people to keep an eye on that. If you haven't checked him out, he is fun to watch. Lariano, the center fielder for the Athletics. Athletics games usually come on kind of late, but when they have afternoon games, it's typically around 4 o'clock, and they're a fun team to watch. So going into our next topic, because when he gets popped, I'm definitely going to bring it back up. ball two, teams trending down. Who's your teams trending down for the American League and the National League?
In the NL, I'm from the NL, the entire NL East.
You copied my notes. I had the same thing.
Dude, I just said nobody wants to get their shit together.
Yeah, like, what is going on?
Nobody wants the division. Nobody's trying to win that division. Nobody, it's still anybody's division.
Yeah,
and they're all bad. And like I said, the Mets and the Phillies are the only ones over 500. But the Mets are the only teams that are over 500 in their last 10. Every team, but the Marlins are the only team that are over or have a positive run differential. The whole entire division is just really bad, and I just nobody seems to want to separate themselves.
And I'm pretty sure I was on record saying that it was going to be one of the more competitive divisions in baseball, and here we are. We are not.
I mean, it is competitive because
we suck.
Right, because everybody sucks. But it is the most competitive division in baseball, being that the Nationals are in last and they're the closest to first.
And I got to say, like, as a Braves fan, our excuse is that we once again have a manager who literally just doesn't want to admit that some of these guys are just not it. Stop pitching this dude Jackson, bro. Stop pitching Minter if you can't. Like, just – or if you're going to pitch him, put him in different spots, man. Don't put these guys out that are known to walk people in one-run games. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. It's like – it's common sense. Like, don't put these guys in. And, you know, Acuna getting hurt really hurt us as well because he was the only one hitting consistently. And then, like, at one point, our entire outfield was hurt except for Acuna. And it seems like guys are getting healthy.
That's what the Nationals have been doing the same thing. Like, I was listening to the Nats game the other day, and they put Will Harris in. And it's like, this is the first time Will Harris has been in a one-run game all year. What's he do? First thing he does, walks a guy, then gives up a two-run homer.
Yeah, it's
like, oh, okay, and I see why you're not getting those one run opportunities, because you do stuff like that. That's what you walk guys, and then you get in trouble after you walk a guy. You start trying to throw strikes, and then you give up a shot.
Yeah, it's absolutely frustrating, and you know, one thing about the National League that has declined over the years, that people are not like used to seeing, is that nobody has a really good bullpen anymore. Like,
yeah.
It shows every single game. Like, you're essentially never out of it, even if you're down 2 to 3 runs. Whereas, like, I know, like I said, as a Braves fan, you know, speaking of what, 6-7 years ago, bro, we was up a run, it was a wrap. You can't say that anymore. And I know the Nationals typically address their bullpen needs through free agency or trades, but like, it's just they don't have anything in the system, it seems like, that they called up that could produce anything. Same with the Mets. They're still rolling out Familia in situations where it's like, I know he's reliable to a degree, but he still walks guys and gives, like, he has these bad games that are just ill-timed. And I can't name a person in the Marlins bullpen, but if they're good, they're going to get traded. So,
right.
And the Phillies definitely don't have a bullpen. They're all 6 ERA guys. It's absolutely awful. I don't even know how they're even sustaining wins, honestly. Like, their bullpen was so bad for a 3-week stretch. It was just like they were giving up 5-6 runs after the fifth every single time. But they do have pretty solid starting pitching. I do believe that they lost this series against the Marlins, but the Marlins came ready to play, and they were at the top of their rotation, which is pretty formidable for anybody when you're talking about Rodgers and those guys. So maybe it'll turn around. But, yeah, right now I think sometimes fans get that confused. They see competitive, like, records, and they think, oh, the division's good because the records are close. Nah. If you watch some games, you go, what is this AAA shit? Get this off my screen.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful baseball. It really has been awful baseball.
So, American League, I have to take a swipe at Texas fans. The Rangers, they're 1-9 in their last 10. I mean, they weren't supposed to be good anyway, but they got no hit by a dude that is old enough to probably be half that roster's father. Some of them probably don't even remember Kluber being a Cy Young caliber pitcher. So what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to also stay in the AL West, but I'm not going with Texas. I'm actually going with the Angels for all the talk about Shohei Ohtani, which
you really trying
everybody
to fight.
Should be talking. Everybody should be talking about Ohtani.
Matter of fact, you've been talking to Corey, haven't you?
No.
Like you're literally saying things that he would say to trigger me. Y'all leave my man Trout alone. You leave Ohtani-san alone. It is not their fault.
Look, it's somebody's goddamn fault because they're fucking 500, so it's somebody's fault.
It's that bum Rendon that they picked up and thought it was going to be some free agent acquisition. He hasn't done anything but be hurt the entire time.
Every free agent acquisition has done that for them.
Yeah, like, all of them. Yeah, they do.
They picked up Pujols. At least he stayed healthy, but he wasn't good. Like, literally, just the entire – from the minute they signed him, he wasn't good anymore. They just – as soon as he signed that deal, it was like, oh, there goes everything that I was good at is just gone. Like, within 2 years, he was hitting 240.
Yeah. It was bad.
The Josh Hamilton.
That was bad. Then he relapsed, like, what, like 4 or 5 times?
Right. That's what I mean. Like,
and Justin Upton hasn't been all that bad. I mean, he hasn't been as great as he was when he was with the Diamondbacks and with the Braves. But
he's hitting 202 right now.
What is he hitting versus lefties, man? Come on. That's all I care about. He's a monster versus lefties.
Yeah, he is.
Ohtani is definitely carrying.
I'm just saying, for as great as he is, and he is great, and everybody should be talking about what he's doing. It doesn't seem to matter. I wanted the Angels to be good, but it's just disappointing. Like they can't seem to get their shit together.
The problem with the Angels is that they invest at the wrong time. You know, they remind me of the Angels organization reminds me of how I do my investments on stocks. Like I tend to cash the stocks at the highest point and then it just crashes and I lose a lot of money. That's essentially what the Angels do in free agency. They get these guys at their highest point and when they actually sign them, they just immediately start to decline. It's like, dude, you should have got them on the way up, you know? They just have to cash these guys a little earlier. Their starting rotation is awful. They do have some arm talent in their bullpen that's young, but I mean you don't get to see them much because they're not really in games that are competitive sometimes or able to utilize them. I wonder if they maybe should think about stretching some of those guys into starters and moving some of these washed arms that they got like Quintana and Henny.
Bundy
can stay, but like Quintana he's gotta go. Quintana's gotta go. Henny probably needs to go. And then I think there's another one that they keep rolling out that I'm like, how do they keep Canning? Canning, he's hit or miss too, but I think he probably would be better served in the bullpen. Like they just kinda need to really take a look at the pitching more so than their bats. Their bats are okay. Like they've been in some games where when Trout
they got guys you can hit. I mean David Fletcher's not a bad player. Like they got some guys like
hell, even with Trout out the lineup, they're still getting about 4 or 5 a game, but they just can't win, man. I hate to see Mike Trout's career go like this. I mean, I don't know if he's ever gonna really make the playoffs. Like this was probably the most anticipated roster that they've had in a long time and it just has not panned out. There's no hope. He's got a Aaron Rodgers this thing and force his way out of town. Or James Harden, because it actually worked for James Harden. Maybe after this injury, he comes back fat, and they'll release him or something.
Well, it works for everybody in the NBA. You know that.
Yeah. but speaking of – oh, actually, you know what? Yeah, let's just stay on this topic. Speaking of people getting released and parting ways, et cetera, we'll stay with the Angels organization. It has been a couple weeks since we got together, but there was big news during that time frame, and that was with Albert Pujols being DFA. slash released from the Angels, and I gotta say slash released because they basically did release him, but he ended up signing with the goddamn Dodgers, who I hate. And I don't know if it's gonna help them or what, but I mean it's still just an extra bat vet presence in the clubhouse that they don't need any help with. And if you look at their freaking roster, I don't know if there's anybody on the team that hasn't won an MVP award or been in contention for an MVP award at this point.
The roster is insane.
What was your initial reaction to the news that the Angels basically parted ways with Pujols? In his final year of his contract, too.
Honestly, I was depressed because I really liked Albert Pujols a lot. Albert Pujols was great. You know what I mean? He was one of my favorite players to watch back in the day. He's probably still, that I can remember really watching, probably either 1A or one, you know, either number one or number two best hitter I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That I can really remember watching. And so it's just him getting DFA'd like that is just, it's depressing. I mean, it's not the way you want to see somebody who, like I said, is either first or the second best hitter I've ever seen go out that way.
Yeah, and it has to be stated either here or it needs to be said more often. I know MLB Network, they always give him his props. Albert Pujols in his prime, the machine in his prime, is easily one of the top three greatest primes of all time in baseball history.
You go look at it, the dude. And I didn't even know this till just the other day when I looked at it. When they cut him, I went back and looked at his stats. The dude finished top three in MVP seven times in a decade, eight times in a decade. Won it four times, won it three or four times, finished second another three or four times, and then was third a couple times. It was just literally 8 out of 10 years or 9 out of 10 years or something like that. He finished in top three in the MVP voting.
Yeah, and you know, for all the accolades that we pour on Trout, and I'm a huge Trout fan, Pujols' prime was just as good. And I don't think people really think about that because all they really remember him for is the Angels thing. Well, not remember him for, but he's graded on a
curve. It's what have you done for me lately. It's still what have you done for me lately. He gets the hit with the what have you done for me lately. And it's still, nobody really remembers just, like I said, just how good he was. I mean, the best two hitters that I've ever seen is Albert Pujols in his prime, which was for a much longer stretch, but Miguel Cabrera at his peak is the only thing that I've seen close to that. But it wasn't as long of a period. I mean, Pujols did what, think of Miguel Cabrera, triple crown Miguel Cabrera, but for a decade.
Yeah. And Pujols still has one of the best all-time postseason home runs in history. I understand how everybody feels about Big Poppy's postseason against the Yankees and whatnot. That was special. Don't get me wrong. But Albert Pujols literally killed the man's career with one swing of a bat. Lidge was never the same. Nope. He was a absolute god. And Albert Pujols hit that home run in Houston. And I'm telling you, the man never recovered. Literally took his soul. And that's why I love to watch it. Because the hush of the crowd when he hit the ball, I'm talking this the stadium's packed and he hit that thing and the only thing you could hear the commentators, you could hear them through the stadium. It was they were actually it got so quiet you could hear everything. And all you heard was, oh my god, that ball's never coming back.
Right. He hit into the train track.
It
was just crushed.
Yeah, it was just awesome, man. The real shame is that, you know, he only got one ring in St. Louis, I think. Because those are some pretty good teams, and he anchored that lineup. I don't know why they didn't win more.
Well, I think he got two. Didn't he? Because they got one that year, didn't they? The year they hit that home run for Brad. And then they won the one against the Rangers, wasn't it? Alan Craig.
Oh, yeah. When they didn't make Berkman switch sides.
The Alan Craig, Alan Craig had two outs and two strikes and two outs in the ninth inning in game five or whatever it was.
How, How could I ever forget that? Because I like to bring that up to give Jeff misery, because Nelson Cruz should have never been in right field, and they should have made Berkman hit from the right side, and they didn't. So, I mean, honestly, going back to that particular game, like, you know, we'll eventually get to the point where we start talking about, like, simple strategies that honestly makes no sense that people overthink. That is one of them, where you got a switch hitter, you know the splits. Why would you not play the numbers? Like, why would you allow him to hit from the side?
It was also a decade ago where teams weren't as analytical as they are now. I think now you probably would see a team play the shift more likely. You're more likely to see it now. But, yeah, there's still going to be times where it's like that's what you should do every time, and teams won't do it.
I'm convinced Ron Washington was high. That's why.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
So, strike two, we're calling this a foul tip because, honestly, it's not the worst thing that could have happened. And if you look at the play, it's probably warranted. But if you missed it, on May 19th, our guy Davey Martinez had one of the best Lou Piniella impressions we've seen in a long time. Trey Turner swung at a pitch. It was the third strike. He got by the catcher, went to the backstop. Trey runs down the line, and he's on the inside of the baseline, and it's not that bad. Like, he's on the inside of the baseline running, and they called interference on him when the ball was thrown. So David Martinez obviously gets angry about that, and I think there's some history here with that ump that was behind the plate who did call him for interference. I think they were just fed up with him throughout the game or the series. But anyway, he comes out, man, and he takes first base after a while and kicks it, which I thought was awesome. He didn't even throw it. He kicked it. But
yeah, I saw that he picked it up, put it on the ground, and then kicked it. I saw that.
Would you consider – if you were part of MLB, would you consider to make the game more fan-appealing and exciting – would you consider miking up the coaches or the umps during these arguments? Because I don't know if you recall that Syndergaard episode where he was mic'd up and they threw it. I think they threw it. What's his name? Utley. I think it was after Utley had taken out their guy with that dirty slide. Mm-hmm. It was like the next game, and it was in their series.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he threw at him, and the ump was mic'd up, and just the banter between him and the manager that came out for the Mets. I think it was Collins.
Terry Collins.
It's one of the best like baseball moments I've seen in a while, just because you get a feel of like, you know, the intensity. And then you get to hear exactly what they're saying and just the emotion and drama behind it. And I thought the ump handled it great. I've actually seen him around a couple other games, but he seems like he's real level-headed. But, you know, we don't really get – like, we get sideline stuff in baseball or in football, and we get some sideline stuff in the NBA, but we don't really get that kind of consistency with sideline stuff with baseball. Would you consider adding that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they already have. You know what I mean? I've seen games. I think it needs to be more consistent. You see games. Like, I've seen games where guys are mic'd up in the field, and they're talking to them while they're out there playing in center field. So, I mean, I think there's a good amount of guys being mic'd up. But it just needs to be more consistent.
Yeah. And I'm going to pause and get real hype, because the Red Sox just hit a 3-run homer in the top of the ninth, and they're now up 8-7. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Jays Stadium in Dublin, Florida, but it's one of the wildest like ballparks in baseball right now. The wind can be blowing 20 miles per hour in from left or in from right, and the ball still goes out like it's course. And it's better than Rogers Center.
Yeah, and which is crazy, because Rogers Center is one of the most hitter friendly stadiums in the league.
Yeah. Switching over to, I think we are, I just got, oh, Albert Pujols just hit a home run. I just got an alert on it. After we just kind of slandered him. All right. That's cool. We're at a,
I think we in a way paid him his due. You know what I mean? We definitely talked about how great he was. He really was.
Yeah. we're at a 3-2 count. I'm calling this a foul tip because it was something that I was going to bring up at the beginning of the show. But in the last 3 weeks, we've had Means has pitched a no-hitter. Turnbull from the Tigers has pitched a no-hitter. Kluber has pitched a no-hitter. And I want to say I might be missing somebody else that pitched a no-hitter as well. But either way, we know baseball changed. Wade Miley pitched a no-hitter. So we know baseball has changed the baseball. And this is a question that somebody had asked me off the record, and I wanted to bring it to you. Do you think that the change in the baseball is contributing to the no-hitters? Because I told them that I think in baseball we typically do see within the first 2 months no-hitters or perfect games because it takes batters time to catch up.
Well, I also think like this is a lot of things that maybe somebody who's a casual fan of baseball doesn't really understand. Like, and you probably agree with this or make another point to this, but think about 20 years ago when we came up really started watching baseball. How many guys threw 96? How much of the league really threw 96? 5-10%?
Yeah, this is like
now there's like 75% of the league throws 96.
Yeah,
and everybody throws 96 plus. And so when you've got guys who are looking for homers, which means they're changing their launch angle, you're not looking to hit balls the opposite way. You know what I mean? And so when the batters make that change and the pitchers are bringing 96 plus, like literally everybody throws 96 plus. It's just, I think that's a part of the recipe as well. I guess the new baseball probably does have something to do with it. I can't tell you what that is, but the numbers, you know what I mean? If you're going, okay, well last year in about 60 games, there was 2 no hitters. This year in 40 something games, there's been 6. Something's obviously changed there, but I also think a big part of it is just the way the game has changed that the casual fan doesn't really understand.
Yeah, also too, what I've noticed in a lot of the no-hitters that we're getting nowadays, I don't think they're as dominant, like from a K standpoint, as when we were growing up, when we would see guys who throw no-hitters, like there'd be like double-digit Ks. A lot of these guys are getting like 8 to 9 strikeouts, and it's really just
no hitter with like 7 strikeouts.
Yeah, it's just guys playing good defense behind them, yes, and it's still a testament to the pitcher as well, because you know you gotta make sure that you keep the ball down or pitch in a way where they
change so much. Like yeah. That's what I mean. Like the way that pitchers pitch has changed so much. I mean, guys used to throw east to west, inside out. You throw your fastball in on your hands, and then a sweeping slider away.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're catching more high fastballs, sinker in the dirt, change up in the dirt, you know, back to a high fastball.
Yeah. The eye elevation changes are definitely apparent in today's game. And that's more so to counter the launch angles that I call the Gallo effect, because Gallo swings with that huge uppercut swing. And guys just start pitching high fastballs to him because it's like, yo, if you're gonna swing it,
that. You're not gonna get your barrel around in time.
Yeah, and his batting average shows. Right. Made known him to make an adjustment, but he just seems stubborn. So I'm gonna be generous, and I'm gonna call the final pitch today a home run, because we are going to celebrate the legend that is Derek Jeter. In a documentary that is teasing us that it will be like The Last Dance, only with Derek Jeter. Is there with Derek Jeter, man? It better show his off-field repertoire, like look, that from, lineup.
Like from what I've seen, from what I've read, Mike Lee's involved. Jeter's also involved. It's not, you know what I mean, one of the, like, I think it's the Players Tribune is the whatever he is a part owner, and they're involved in the project. So Jeter's going to be involved in the project in some capacity. I'm hoping it's very similar to The Last Dance. I really am. We'll see what we get.
I'm trying to figure out, I guess off the top of my head, I want to know what it was like to have to switch or to have to tell A-Rod he couldn't play shortstop. I want to know the behind the story on that. And I want to know how he could let Jessica Alba just go. I need to know.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. I don't think people that are fully expecting, like, a Last Dance, it's just... Michael Jordan was known, like, you knew that these stories were out there about Michael Jordan. I just don't know what we're going to get about Derek Jeter.
He was a choir boy.
That's what I mean. Like, I just don't know what kind of stories we're going to get.
I don't even know how you can spin it. The only way you can spin it, I mean, the Yankees is an organization. Like, he's not Reggie Jackson. Let me go that route. He's not Reggie Jackson. We ain't going to get, a Bronx Tale or whatever it was documentary that they put out where Reggie Jackson was essentially threatening to choke out everybody in the dugout, like something like that. Like, we're not gonna get that for
right. Dude. That's what I mean. Like, I just don't.
And if we did, I wouldn't even believe it. Like, that's not Derek Jeter. He's a choir boy. I don't even think he's ever said anything bad.
We all knew Mike was gambling and smoking and doing crazy shit. Like, we all knew that. Just nobody ever gotten on camera and really talked about it.
Yeah. So I just want to see if there's more, maybe if it's more shining light on the organization as well, rather than just Jeter. But I mean, his actual story coming through the organization, things like that, is going to be awesome. And I jokingly told somebody, I wonder if they're going to edit out all his errors, or they're going to finally admit that they've been docking the actual stats. Because my man Derek Jeter's fielding percentage is definitely around the mid 80s. It is not as high as they got him. I don't care what nobody
says. Yeah, I don't know how the hell he won like 5 gold gloves.
Also, I want to know if he'll admit that pitch that got him in his last at bat, if he'll admit that was a groove pitch just for him to hit. So I want to see if
he'll admit. No, we're not going to admit that. Never.
It was
never gonna admit that one.
It was definitely, oh my God. Remember like it was yesterday, it was definitely set up. But we didn't have people weren't as active on the internet and QAnon then, so nobody had conspiracy theories. But imagine if that happened now. Like, imagine if LeBron James hits a game winner in his last game ever. People are gonna go
berserk. Last shot ever. Not even his last game ever. Last shot ever. He did a walk off single. It was a walk off, and Derek Jeter just had the craziest milestones. Like, the 3,000th hit was a home run.
Yeah.
And then his last at bat, last hit ever is a walk-off single.
Yeah, to win the game. Like, ridiculous. Ridiculous. But, yo, thank you for coming through, Malone. We will be back next week because there are some things we still need to cover, like the concerning trend of guys not being able to control those 96, 97-mile-per-hour fastballs that you were talking about and hitting people in the face, okay? Yeah. we gotta figure something out for the game, for the players on both sides, because it's not often talked about, but when you hit somebody in the face and you literally break their face, like what happened to Kevin Pillar,
so awful. Like,
yeah,
it looked awful.
Yeah, it's not something that even the pitchers take pride in, but you don't want to discourage them from having, like, from pitching inside. So it's just gonna need some balance. But we will be back with that, and we will be back with more topics. If you guys are listening, which 55 people did last time, if you are listening, just shoot me some DMs or hit us with some topics in the group so we can talk about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So thanks, Malone, for joining me, and we will be back next week.